Morning, everyone. Glad to have you with us today. I come to you with mixed emotions this morning. Great joy that so all of you are here, but a little bit of sadness because you're leaving us. So many of our students will be leaving at the latter part of this week, and we just can't express to you how much we have appreciated you being with us. You've added to us not just in number, but in quality of our singing and everything else. And I hope it's flowed both ways. We have received from you a lot of spiritual blessings, and if we've given you just a few, then that's wonderful. We want you to know from the bottom of my heart and the elders' heart and probably everyone here that when you leave, we do not forget you. We will be praying for you. And if you come back, we'll welcome you with great arms, but if not, we'll see you on the other side. We're delighted that you have been part of us here, and may Jesus continually go with you. He will, as we sang, if you always let him into your heart. So we're so grateful that you've been with us. Also today, I want to share, again, some mixed feelings. A wonderful friend, an amazing teacher, in my mind, an outstanding gospel preacher, who's been at Great Lakes for the past year or so, Brent Olson. He's moving out west. It'll benefit the West. Wherever Brent goes, he benefits. He will benefit the West. But we will miss Brent. I think he's going to be sharing some communion thoughts today, but our hearts always go with him. Wonderful, wonderful man. So with saying all of that, we want to just take a couple of moments. If you've been with us for many weeks, we know that you do this, that we just stand up where we are to welcome one another. And especially to the students, give you their love and everyone else. So for a while now, we've been talking about God's Holy Spirit who lives in us. So many amazing passages of Scripture that talk about a question that we can ask is, what are bodies for? And Paul answers that question several times in the Bible, that our bodies were created by God to be indwelled by God, His Holy Spirit. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom, person, you have received from God? You're not your own. You're bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So a question that we asked several weeks ago, and I think it's a valid question, is what do you see when you look at a body? And that can be a dangerous question. And the answer is, what we see when we look at a body is God lives in there. And the person may not even recognize it. That God knew us before we were born, and when we were born, part of God was already indwelling us, God's Spirit living in us. And Paul does something unique in the Scriptures where he talks about individual bodies, and then he talks about the entire church worldwide as the body of Christ, meaning we belong to God and we belong to one another. And this is one of the interesting aspects of looking at the Godhead. Oh, and by the way, I don't know about you, but for many, many years, I could answer the question of, well, what is the Godhead? And you can answer it with me. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But in reality, for me, for many, many years, the Godhead was actually this: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. And nobody wants to lessen the Holy Bible. But it's the Holy Bible that teaches us that the Godhead is not the Bible. The Godhead is the indwelling Spirit of God, and that for centuries, believers in God and then later as Christians had no Bibles. They relied constantly on the presence of God, knowing that there's more to each one of us than just us or just us, but that God's Spirit comes to live in us if we are open to God's Spirit and if we continually ask God's Spirit to lead us and to encourage us and to indwell us. In fact, it's so unique, we may not even think about this, but Paul talks about the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. For example, The fruit of the Spirit is, maybe you can say this along with me, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. May I also say that Paul never wrote lists. And for those of us in our Wednesday evening class, we have read Paul's lists. But when Paul writes lists, they're not meant to be exhaustive. Paul writes lists and then says, you catch my flow. There are many things that we could add to these spiritual blessings. When Paul writes a list, he gets our mind going in a certain way. So think about this. If God's Holy Spirit lives in us, whenever we demonstrate authentic love, we're participating with the Spirit, which I think is pretty cool. Then anytime we demonstrate authentically joy, we're participating with God's Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit giving himself to us, and we're participating with him. It's part of you and I physically, spiritually, intellectually, and emotionally living with and participating with God's Spirit. That whenever we demonstrate love and joy, we are working along with God's Holy Spirit, who actually helps us to mature in our love, joy, peace, patience. Staying with me? So there's more to us than just a theological understanding of the Holy Spirit, but it's living with and in the presence of God. And it's such an incredible thing that Paul is always saying, but don't push the Holy Spirit out. One of the old translations says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. In other words, you can just ignore the presence of God living in our life. And have you ever got to the point in your life where sometimes you're just not feeling 100%? I don't mean physically, but something's not quite right and you can't really figure out what it is and whatever is happening in your life. And then it's like, bing, you know, I really haven't talked to God lately. Oh, I said a prayer or two, maybe at dinner time or whatever. But I'm missing spending time with God. And it's the Holy Spirit that's always leading us to God. Listen, and it's God always leading us to the Holy Spirit who directs us to Jesus Christ. You can't have one without any of them. They all come together. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God pours out his love, listen, into our hearts by his Holy Spirit. That's an action that's always available to us. It's God doing this at length. So we have all these beautiful passages of Scripture. I like the fact that every day we're walking along with the Holy Spirit. We sometimes forget. I don't know about you, but wherever you're at, if you're a student and you think of your parents, your aunts and uncles, your loved ones, your brothers or sisters, or for those of you who are in a dating relationship, or for those of us who've been married for a little while, those of us who've been married for a long while, those of us that have children, those of us who have grandchildren, how many times in the day, no matter how busy you are, maybe frustrated you are, that your loved ones just come into your mind? And for many of us, it's all the time, because there's more to us than us. When we love someone with all of our heart, they live in us and with us. And even when they've gone to heaven, we still feel their presence. And as the Holy Spirit raised the body of Christ from the dead, he will do that for us also, that we can be together with them again. But even though we can't see them today, we feel their presence. Isn't that right? And so sometimes we forget that when it comes to God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. We sometimes think, ooh, that's just too big. But God said, I choose to live in this world. I put part of myself in you, which is amazing to me. So I look at our wonderful people here today, a variety of ages, and we look at all of our distinct bodies, and this is where we can make a lot of jokes, but we're not going to, because in each one of us, God, his Spirit lives in us. But we have a baby here today. And that same Spirit who lives in each one of us lives in that baby. And as a body of Christ, we want to do everything we can to open ourselves up to the work of God in that baby's life, in all of our lives, and the Holy Spirit helps us with this. But let's face it, sometimes even the best of relationships can face difficulties. At the end of Paul's ongoing letter, 1 and 2 Corinthians, some think there's probably a third letter there somewhere, he finishes everything he says by saying this: "Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God," listen, "and the fellowship of God's Holy Spirit be with you all." Now we know about fellowship, friends, being together, just enjoying each other's company. Wouldn't it be cool if we could think along those lines in regard to the Holy Spirit living in us? The Holy Spirit has fellowship with us and we with him. And there's a variety of ways it's talked about in the scriptures. In John chapter 7, I'll just go through these quickly and then I'll get to my main point. And then there's only one point today. Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, streams of living water will flow from within." In other words, hope this isn't too offensive. In other words, we need a good flush every once in a while. We need streams of living water to get rid of all that guck that sometimes we have allowed in ourselves. Just let those streams, rivers, flow through. And by this, he means the Spirit. This wonderful analogy of a presence of God that's washing us, that's renewing us. As Paul said, "But when the kindness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us by the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." Who lives in us? This refreshing. My question for each one of us today is, do we need that? Do we need some refreshing? Do we need a good flushing? A flushing out of all those negative things that are anti-spirit, anti-God, that keep our focus away from Christ Jesus. And the Spirit is there encouraging us all the way through. In so many scriptures that enable us to be closer to Christ Jesus. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 and 26 and 27, let me just share with you these words. God says this. This is so cool. "I will sprinkle clean water on you." He's talking about the Spirit. "And you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit." Anyone need that today? Anyone needing a new spiritual heart? Anyone need to be open, allowing our own spirit to be open to God's Holy Spirit? "I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh," feeling, "and I will put my Holy Spirit in you." One of the greatest blessings of God. If you could ask God for only one thing and God promised to give it to you. Now we know God gives us many things, but if you could only ask for one thing, knowing that God would answer you, wouldn't that one thing be, "God, please, I need you in my life. I can't do this alone. I need you in my life." God answers it. He's always answered it. That when we're born, he puts his own spirit into our lives. You don't even have to ask for it. He's already given it. Now, will we receive God's Holy Spirit? One of the cool things is that when we're baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized not only into Christ, not only into God the Father, but the God's Spirit lives in us in a unique and powerful way. You can be with people all around you and never necessarily have a close relationship with anyone. But God says, "I want a close relationship with you. And when you acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when we're baptized into Christ, the living presence of God's Holy Spirit makes himself even more aware of what he's always been doing in our lives if we will partner with him, fellowship with him. So let me share with you this story. It's a real quick story, only 14 verses. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 37. It really is a story that is somewhat fantasy, somewhat science fiction maybe, somewhat really cool, somewhat analogy, but the point is absolutely life and eternal changing. It's the story of God's children, Israel, who for some reason continually decided they didn't need God. And because of that, they were open to not have God's Spirit leading them and directing them. And they fell into all kinds of disarray and captivity. You know all of that. But God is always coming back to Israel, as we always come to our children, loving them. And when they've done wrong, we even hug them tighter than we ever had before. Let me help you get back on track. And this is a story of streams of living water entering into a graveyard. Is it symbolic? Yes. Is it literal? Yes. Is it truthful? Yes. Is it life-changing? Yes. Is it God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Holy Bible? Yes, because the Bible gives us this information. Go with me. This is one of the coolest stories in the Bible. The hand of the Lord was upon me. This is a vision, a dream that Ezekiel has. And man, he has some doozies. But this is a good one. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Imagine God asking that question. And Ezekiel said, "Oh God, you alone know." And then he said, "Preach, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." And this is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. Now, before I read on, I want you to notice how many times the word God's name is used. And it might be different than you think. It's the word breath. Someone says, "What?" Well, God's name cannot be pronounced. In the original language, and we translate it into the English language, it becomes Jehovah, but with no vowels. So it's beginning with J, Hova, with no vowels. So it comes out like this. If you want to say God's name in the original language, the best we can do is this. Shh. Now, not shh, but shh. A wind. A breath. A breath. Which means every breath we take, we are saying God's name. Even when we're sleeping, we are saying God's name. And when a child of God breathes their last breath, they are saying God. And then they go to be with him. We live with God's presence every day by breathing. Watch what he says. "I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skins. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I preached as I was commanded, and as I was preaching, there was noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, Bone to bone, I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. There was no God in them. And then he said to me, preach to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, O God living in a human being, and God living in the four winds and the breath and slain, and they all live. And so I preached as he commanded. And God entered them. And the breath entered them. And they came to life. We become a Christian, we become a brand new person because we're aware of God's breath, God's presence living in us. Now watch this. So I preached as he commanded, and the breath entered them, and they came to life, and they stood up on their feet, a vast army, which is the picture in Revelation. I looked and I saw multitudes upon multitudes. I couldn't count how many people were surrounding the throne of God. And then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the entire house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone and we're cut off. And therefore, we prophesy to them. This is what the sovereign Lord says. O people, I'm going to open your graves and bring up them from below. This is the analogy. This is the symbolism. And then he says in verse 13, then you, my people, will know that I am God. I will open your graves, the graves that we have allowed to live here, and bring you up. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. My prayer for each one of us, especially this summer, is that we will be aware. And if every once in a while you can think of this, that just before you go to sleep, if you breathe, we pay no attention to our breath. We just breathe. But just before you go to sleep and you breathe, before you close your eyes, you're saying God's. He already knows your name. And that when you wake up in the morning and you yawn, you're praising him. God's voice, God's name, God's Holy Spirit living in each one of us. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.